I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Know someone who might be struggling with their mental health? You can help. As a listener of Sick Boy, you know that we've been having these types of convos forever now. You'll also know that sometimes we make mistakes, and that's okay. We're human. Supporting someone through struggle in their life isn't easy. It's an art, not a science. And we all make mistakes. That being said, we can do our best to prep by educating ourselves. And our friends over at jack.org have created a resource for just that. Check out bethere.org for more information. Let's create a world where we can all better support one another. Hello, people. Jeremy here. Gonna hit you with some show dates. We are coming to Vancouver, and it's gonna be a wicked show at the Rio Theater, and that is a couple of weeks away. It's Monday, September 23rd. And if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, I'm gonna drop this on you right now. There's a quick little deal that just got forwarded my way from Live Nation. It's a promo code to get you 25% off the ticket price. This is limited to 50 tickets, and the password is SBPODCAST. So SB podcast, all one word, but the SBP is capitalized. Ooh, don't fuck it up. And then there's another one. There's another little sort of promo deal there. It's ME plus three, and that will give you four tickets for the price of three. That's a capital M, lowercase e, the plus symbol, and then three. And again, that's four for the price of three. So go get those tickets. And there's also a show in Calgary the next night, the 24th. There's a show in Toronto later that week on the 27th. Tickets are flying for both of those shows. If you are looking for more info and want tickets to any of those shows, go to sickboypodcast.com/shows. Holy shit, we can't wait to see you all across the country. And we got some amazing guests lined up. It should be a really fun time. So go get your tickets. Again, the promo code there for this Vancouver show is SB Podcast, capital SBP. And then me plus three, four tickets for the price of three. All right, hope you enjoy this week's episode. We love you. This episode was fucking wild. I still have no clue what mast cell activation syndrome is. Hopefully you can make sense of it, because I'm too dumb for it. All right, love y'all. Talk to you soon.
Welcome to Sick Boy, a podcast that talks about what it's like to be sick. This week's guest is Angela. She has mast cell activation syndrome. Let's talk about it.
Have your name or articles taken off the internet?
And they made
a criteria, so they, without...
Like, you can do it? Or?
Well, it's like they aren't making it a law, so it's not, so otherwise it would go against the Second Amendment.
Right.
Mm.
Free speech.
Yeah. And so the way they got
First
around
Amendment.
It is
Sorry, each Second Amendment is guns.
Second Amendment's guns,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the way they got around it was each kind of like literary website can do it, have their own methods. So they go through this one paper's method, or I don't even know what they are. And they have this criteria, like, how bad is the crime? And, you know, are they a policeman or are they a person of authority? And what's the impact and the repercussions of taking this off potentially? Like,
because
there was some circumstance where a cop got hired. He had it removed, got hired in another county or state, and then...
Basically
did something bad on the job.
Again.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Have you guys seen The Great Hack?
Yeah.
Not yet.
That really made me a little afraid.
It was a little underwhelming, but it raises some really fucking massive issues about data privacy. And what's funny is, like, I was watching with Kyla, who has who I don't think has ever, spent a second thinking about data privacy. And one of her reactions was like, who cares if they have your information? Like, if...
That's kind of my reaction too, even though I know...
If you're not easily swayed, I feel like it's the people that are kind of in the gray area that...
Yeah, and when they sort of lay out some of the things where they're like, well, this is what some people are doing with your shit. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, that's fucking crazy.
Right. The way that I feel more about it, like,
and it's technically public domain. Might not be the right specific word to use, but like, it is out there. Like, you are.
It's beyond our legislation. Like, we haven't
totally. We haven't got there yet. I was. What's the guy's name? Ben, that does the Vice show.
Schmishmelsky?
Something like that. No, he's not the murderer. Anyway, whatever his name is.
It was like McCoo or something like that.
It was something like that. Fuck, whatever. He does a show.
Ben Mulrooney.
But no. Anyway, we met this guy. He does a show. He does a show on Vice called Cyber Wars, I believe it's called. And I watched this segment of one of the episodes, and it was talking about this this experiment where they did, where they said, on average, the amount of like apps and things that you subscribe to and all that shit cumulatively per week, if you were to read all the terms and conditions and privacy policies, it would take you 18 hours a week.
Whoa.
To read all of them every week.
That's crazy.
For the average person. And so they did this thing where I think it was at the University of Waterloo, they set up this hoax survey or something where people had to, opt in and, agree to terms or whatever it was. And they had buried in the terms and conditions that they were relinquishing the right to their firstborn child.
I was going to say firstborn.
Yeah, me too.
And then they sent out whatever they sent out, and, 10,000 people opted in or ticked the survey or whatever it was. And then they randomly picked a handful of them and, talked to them on the phone, and they said like, okay, well, in the event that you do have a child in your lifetime, we'll be closely monitoring you, and we'll be in contact for the exchange when your child is born. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And they're like, well, you read the terms, like the privacy policy, right? And the terms and conditions. And they're like, well, and they're like, so you agreed to giving us your firstborn. And they're like, what the fuck? And it was just pointing to how no one reads that shit.
Do you think that if like Facebook did that, for example, and it said that you were relinquishing the right to your firstborn and they wanted to take you up on that, do you think that they would win legally?
Oh my God. Mm, they have so much money.
Dude, I don't know. I don't know, man. That's
makes really me really glad that I'm not really on Facebook question. Anymore.
I don't.
Oh, you're off the book. Eh?
I got rid of it about 7 years ago.
That's awesome.
Oh, fuck! You were an early jump off.
Were you even ever on it, bro?
That's like jumping.
I had some pretty bad photos on there.
That's like jumping off the Titanic when it just left port.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, fuck! I got a bad feeling about this. I just don't know.
Yeah. It'll never sink. Truly, yeah. It'll never sink.
God made this ship.
Mast cell activation syndrome. Is this the correct term of which we are diving into tonight?
Yeah, I for like the last 2 years have been calling it mast cell activation disorder, and only recently realized I was calling it the wrong thing. So.
Oh, because syndrome? Oh, really? It's not a disorder. It's
well,
a syndrome?
Because there's this umbrella of disorders. So there's mast cell disease, and that encompasses mastocytosis, mast cell activation syndrome, and then there's types of mast cell activation syndromes: primary, secondary,
right?
Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff that I actually really don't understand.
You haven't lost me at all.
Okay.
What does mast cell activation syndrome mean to you?
It's a tough one. I was just actually listening to your episode about lupus from the beginning of when you guys started.
Oh, like way back.
And listening to that, yeah, I was going back, and it is kind of like that where if I tell you all the symptoms, people are going to go to the internet. They're going to be like, oh my God, I have that.
Right.
Yeah.
But for me, actually, it's like the maybe end of a 2-year journey to figure out what the hell was wrong with me.
So are you in a place right now where it's kind of like we think it's this, but we're not entirely sure?
Well, we're pretty sure. At least my allergist, immunologist, and I are pretty sure.
Okay.
It's one of those things where you kind of have to, the criteria for it is, you know, you have the symptoms, you do these tests, and the testing is pretty variable. A lot of people won't test positive. And then you respond to a protocol of treatment, and the diagnosis oftentimes is pretty clinical. So like my allergist looked at my case and I don't have any positive testing, but I had the symptoms that she needed and then responded to a protocol, and that was enough for her going forward. But it's one of those things where you also have to exclude like every other weird illness until people will kind of rest on it. And it's kind of my responsibility going forward to like, if something else comes up, I don't have a closed mind about it. It's not
right.
Because
right.
You can
but
also
you're not convinced
have
a, that you are like, they're like, I'm it might be this. And you're not, you're like, no, it's not that. Cause yeah, someone told me it was this.
It would be, unethical for a doctor not to follow through on that. And so my allergist is right. like, pretty positive that this is what it is, and if something ever came up, then I would obviously look into that.
So part. a quick little Google search, and this, I'm following you, but I'm also going, holy fuck,
no,
this sounds
yeah,
so complex. But this really does like kind of put it into words where I can wrap my head around now how fucking insanely complex this must be yeah. for you and everybody involved. Mast cell activation syndrome is one type of mast cell activation disorder and is an immunological condition in which mast cells inappropriately and excessively release chemical mediators, resulting in a range of chronic symptoms, sometimes including anaphylaxis or near anaphylaxis attacks.
This
is the part that's
right
fucking
there.
Interesting. Yeah. Primary symptoms include cardiovascular, dermatological, gastrointestinal, neurological, and respiratory problems.
Itchy feet.
Dude, yeah, it's like, totally, what yeah. else does it not fucking affect?
Well, I mean, the list is really long. I made a comprehensive list because this disorder was actually not really clinically nailed down until about 2010.
Holy shit.
So it's pretty new. And it came from this problem where they would have these patients who would present like they have mastocytosis, which I don't know totally the symptoms of that, but sure. like one of them is like flushing and like, you know, I think
it's like really basic
allergic,
right? Issues. Like they're like things that could be really common though too.
Yeah. And for mastocytosis, it's that you have too many mast cells and the mast. So because you have so many mast cells and they're everywhere in your body and they're responding to everything, you have these symptoms, but in
what
mast cell,
is a mast cell?
It was also so, that, remember, was it Danielle who was the Slayer of Dragons? She had yeah. Ehlers-Danlos, but she also right. had mast cell.
Yeah, right. It's commonly comorbid together.
Okay.
With yeah. Ehlers-Danlos.
So I actually feel like a bit of a, you know, mast cell loser because I don't have the other things that everyone else has.
Can you tell us what a mast cell is?
Yeah, so mast cells are in the body to respond to immunological attacks. So like, say I have, say, and there are lots of triggers. So with mast cell activation syndrome, they could be sunshine, exercise, food, changes, like friction, scents. And once your body identifies this trigger, it's like, oh, alert, 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 and it will activate these mast cells, which have all these little granules along the edges, and those, once they release, they stimulate the release of mast cell mediators, and there's so many of them, like histamine, prostaglandins, cytokines, tryptase, I think, and leukotrienes, and so it's those mediators that act on all the different parts of the body. And that's why the symptoms are so diverse.
So it's like there are, you know, you could be, you know, you walk out of the recording studio and say it's middle of the day and it's super sunny out and you brush up against a stranger and, you stub your toe and fucking whatever else, like you're eating ice cream. all of those things could trigger like an exorbitant amount, like release of these mast cells, and your body's just going like fight.
So the mast cells. So if it was a lot of mast cells, it'd be mastocytosis.
Oh,
but the mast cells themselves are really responsive in people with mast cell activation syndrome. So they'll act inappropriately to stimuli that they shouldn't be acting to.
So it's kind of like it's sort of akin to like autoimmune stuff. It's like there's a confusion in your body where it's turning on itself.
Yeah, except it's except different from autoimmune. It's not attacking itself. It's actually
I'm just helping.
It's Jared, like, yeah, I'm just here to do what I do.
Jared, imagine like,
but it's doing it when it's not supposed to.
Imagine your body is like a hoity-toity symphony orchestra event where people are wearing like suits with tails, and the mast cell is supposed to respond is it walks in and it's all polite and it abides by the rules, but instead of the mast cell doing that, it walks in and it's you, and it just causes a bunch of shit and ruckus, and it's just like totally. Improper,
drunken rock
and not
star,
polite and like
don't ever invite me to the opera.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
Opera would be fun. So where does this start? Like what? Like
wait, before we do, I want to get to this list.
I'll just read this list
because you literally just pulled out a little piece of paper the size of like a little bit bigger than my palm.
I wrote it down because I always forget.
It looks like you wrote 100 things on it.
Yeah. And a lot of people, I'll preface this by saying, a lot of people with mast cell have anaphylaxis and allergic type symptoms. I am an anomaly to that. I don't have anaphylaxis.
As far as we know?
As far as we know.
Okay, right.
But I do have a peanut allergy that is anaphylaxis.
I like how you were like, I don't have anaphylaxis, yet you're like, I do have a peanut allergy.
I do have a peanut allergy.
Well, she doesn't have to be anaphylactic to peanuts.
That's right.
I thought you just said you were,
I would be anaphylactic to peanuts, but if I avoid peanuts, I don't have anaphylaxis.
Oh, is that?
Whoa, my brain just got scrambled.
Yeah, hold on.
Well, anaphylaxis is
if I am here, I cannot be there. However, to get there, I must not be here. And what?
Okay, so I'm just
wait. Are all these? What is this? What are you?
These
reading?
Are all symptoms. And,
that
could be.
We can't get. We can't get to the point of this.
This is my favorite disease so far.
It's like saying like the anaphylaxis thing was saying like I'm a beach
stop.
Goer.
Okay.
I'm not a beach goer when I'm at the beach, but stop. I'm.
All right. Let's hear this list. So this is what could be.
This is what could be. Anaphylaxis, flushing, dermatographism, which is like you rub your skin and it stays like a hive.
Oh, yeah. We talked to somebody.
Rashes, angioedema, hives, blood pressure changes, chest pain, tachycardia, dyspnea, which is shortness of breath, wheezing, pain, fatigue, diarrhea, bloating, abdominal pain, cramping, cognitive issues, memory and brain fog, dizziness, anxiety, headaches, reflux, bladder irritability.
So this is the thing. This is, and you kind of mentioned this earlier. What's really funny is like, 99% of the things that you read on there, everyone listening to this has been like, I've had that.
We've all had that. Yeah. Everyone's going, I might have.
Like
that.
I went.
Like
to,
aside from the anaphylaxis, is like you know, not everyone kind of goes through that, but
yeah.
But almost everything in there, I've been like, I've had that. Mm, I've had that.
Which is
and
like,
does it have to be like a collection of them?
So it has to be multi-systemic for it to be classified. So you have to have multiple organ systems involved. You can't just have anaphylaxis and be like, it's mast cell.
Right. Okay, so let's go.
This is fucking wild.
Let's go to your experience.
I feel like, my story will make it all make a little more sense. So I started physiotherapy school 2 years ago. Everything was great. I was like a little stressed out. I was in the best shape of my life. I was like, I had joined the track team at UPI. I was not very good, but I trained really hard. And
your event?
A long jump and triple jump.
Okay, sweet.
I did long jump and triple jump.
I tried racing people, but it was really embarrassing. Mm. So I went to school and I was like, this is cool, whatever. And one of the things that we study is cardiorespiratory physiotherapy treatments. So like we had a whole thing on CF.
Right.
We talked about asthma, and asthma is something that I grew up with, like that trifecta of like, I've got allergies, I've got asthma. I'm one of those kids who should live in a bubble.
Right. Weak.
Well, I'm weak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get
bad
it.
Bad genes.
I get it.
Yeah. So it was really funny because we were studying asthma and we were doing all these things and we'd have to like check peak flow and doing it on our classmates. And as we're doing it, I'm like, man, my peak flow really sucks. And I'm like, have been slowly using my puffer more often. And then it gets to this point where I'm like, we were talking about when is your asthma in control and when is it good? And I'm like using my puffer 5 times a day. And I'm like, there's something wrong here. I am not under control. My teachers were like laughing at me kind of because they're like,
like you're never,
you should
like
know
you,
this.
Like you've never got it under control. It's always like an issue for you.
It's always been an issue, but this is like really out of the norm. I'm like an exercise asthma person, like, or a cold, like not that bad.
So just get like, you're just starting to use it like all of the time randomly through
yeah,
the day. Like,
cause my chest is just so tight and I can't get the relief. So anyways, I go to the school clinic. I'm really tired. I'm slowly getting like having trouble with things. Like I did a test and I got a horrible mark. And I remember while I was doing it, I was like, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. This is great. And I left feeling pretty good. And then I got the test back and I was like, oh, I don't remember writing that down.
You seem like the type of person who's like, I got a horrible mark. And it was like a 93. And you're like, it wasn't 100.
Yeah, no, that's actually my husband, which is really infuriating. He's actually in dentistry school at the same time. He'll do that. He'll come home and he'll be like, I bombed that. And he'll get like a 93. And then I'll say, I bombed that. And I'll get like a 42.
You're like, I truly bombed.
I truly bombed. But anyway, so that was like, should have been an indicator to me that something was like not connecting for me. So right. I finally went to the school clinic. The doctor measured my oxygen saturation. It was like 85, and she was like, "That's not good."
What does that? What does that mean?
So that means that like you're not like it's like it means you're not carrying enough oxygen to the parts of your body. So like typically your oxygen saturation should be like 98, 99, 97. Oh, that's whoa. Like normal. Oh, okay. 85 is like
Jer.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, totally. Like
no, mine's actually good.
And when if you're chronically, like your asthma, your lungs are really tight, then mm-hmm. you're chronically not getting enough air in and you're pushing
that's
yourself.
That's the one they judge by with the little finger thing, right? Like they put the little,
oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like a little
pulse
finger
oximeter.
Hug. Yeah. Yeah. And you wear finger it for hug. A second yeah. and it like gives you your pulse mm-hmm. and your, whatever this was.
Your heart rate.
Oxygen saturation.
Oh, right. Pulse. Yeah.
My oxygen saturation's actually like. Pretty decent. Yeah.
Really?
Is it
yeah.
referring to how well your body is saturating oxygen into your red blood cells?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. And
people with really bad oxygen saturation, I think this is why clubbed fingernails is a thing yeah. in CF. So people with like really clubbed fingernails is because they have shitty oxygen saturation.
Oh, really? Yeah. So like the fingers
What's
didn't
up?
Grow correctly?
I don't know. I actually don't know. But it's probably why
Something
this
to
is
do
where
with
they're judging.
Poor circulation.
Yeah, exactly. And so like that I think that's why they put that little finger glove thing on you and judge it by here and it has something I don't know. Yeah. Anyway. I knew some.
We'll find out someday.
Yeah.
We can look it up.
Yeah, later. We'll talk to a doctor.
Yeah. So anyway, you get
so
a finger hug.
So I get a finger hug. She's like, okay, I'm going to put you on prednisone and this should be cool. And so I take the prednisone. I'm like, woo, I feel amazing. Like,
you're like, my lung jump is getting way longer.
Yeah, you know, I'm like cleaning shit in my house. I'm on top of it.
Were you gaining weight or anything crazy like that?
No. At this point, like I was my lightest I've ever been, but also really, again, healthy. And I've always been like a vegetarian and like I love cooking. I'm like, you know, prime of my life. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so I finished the prednisone and I just crash.
Oh no.
And it was like, I was tired. I was like achy. I like would get short of breath walking up the stairs. I,
Was the idea of the prednisone that it would up your oxygen saturation?
Well, it reduces inflammation in your lungs. So it's a pretty common treatment for anyone who's got asthma and they're in the middle of a flare.
Right.
And so I kind of bounced in and out of, I went to Emerge a couple times and they're just like, I don't know what to do with you.
Just
and
because you were like crashing so hard that you
it didn't make
weird,
sense.
Or?
Some people thought that maybe it was like steroid withdrawal that you can get when you stop a steroid.
Interesting.
And it's a syndrome. So for several months you would have to be like tired, weak, exercise intolerant. And then eventually it would get better. Or a lot of the doctors I talked to, they'll be like, oh, it's probably post-viral syndrome. So, you know, and then they'd be like, oh, that could take up to like two, you know, that can take up to like 2 years to resolve. I'm like, that sounds great.
What?
There's nothing I can do. That's awesome. And I went in and out of the school clinic. I had all this blood work done. And like, I remember this one doctor at the clinic was like, well, I can tell you, you don't have cancer. And I'm like, well, that is sweet. Not reassuring to me.
He's like, but I think you have AIDS.
Womp, womp. Like, you don't have one.
Anyway,
of
nurse
the many
will be
things.
In to talk to you. So yeah. Yeah. You're like, but like, did you even think that you might have had cancer? Or like, was
well,
that part
I mean,
of the conversation?
You just, you, when you, like, for about 3 weeks, I just was in bed. I just, like, couldn't move.
But when you don't know, it's like,
you start going a little crazy.
Totally.
And when you're, right. all your blood work comes back normal, you're just like, okay, well, I kind of wish something was abnormal so I could know what's going on. So then it started to, I just decided to pull out of school, rest, you know, around Christmas time. Like, you know, it got better steadily with rest. And then at Christmas time, I was like, I'm feeling pretty good. And then I got a cold and I was in bed for the month of January again. So I was like, great. Okay. And at this point, I know, like, I'm not in school. I was taking a medical leave of absence because I just couldn't keep up. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I was really, really frustrated. And I know you've mentioned in a couple episodes about patient advocates. And mm-hmm. I was really lucky because my in-laws are both retired physicians. So they were able to kind of like help push and help advocate for me to get in to see people. Because one of the problems with when having one of these weird mystery illnesses is you kind of have to rule everything out and go to see every specialist. But you get a referral and they're like, okay, that's going to be 6 months. That's going to be a year. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, I want to go back to school.
Yeah, you could spend a fucking decade.
Totally.
Are you the type that like kind of, like, I hear that and I go, there's no fucking way. Like, I would need someone to physically be like, I'm forcing you to your appointment, because I would just go, well, I guess this is my new normal. You know, like, I'm so fucking, I just like, don't.
I mean, that's
deal
how
with
you
it.
Are with your sleep apnea.
100%.
Yeah.
Actually. Like, are you that type of person or
I have fluctuated.
Right.
Like,
because it sounds tiring. Really,
it's tiring and it's,
like, and you're tired already.
Yeah,
yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
I remember there was like some moments where I was like laying in bed and I like was lucky if I got up to go to the bathroom, and like I'd be sitting in bed and my heart rate would go to like 150 out of nowhere. And
whoa.
And then I get chest pain and be like, oh my God, am I having a heart attack? What's going on? And I do have a history of heart issues because I had Wolf Parkinson White as a kid, and so that was in the back of my head. Like,
what is that?
We talked about that on the show.
Yeah, you guys had a guy,
Will McGregor.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's an accessory pathway in the heart, and sometimes your body will trigger into this short circuit loop where it goes really, really fast. And it's like you're born with it. And I had a catheter ablation for that.
I wonder if that's what I had.
Thingy.
Did it go away?
No.
Oh.
Only once I had the ablation.
Okay.
But sometimes it'll go away.
Because I had a heart issue.
Comes and
I
goes.
I've talked about this a couple times, but I had a heart issue when I was a kid, and it just and it like
just went away.
Well, and that was what they thought it would do. They were like, oh, he'll sort of like as he grows, the issue will resolve itself because everything will normalize in his heart, and it did. Recently, I just got a new family doctor, and I was sitting in the office, and he's like, okay, so like. You know, geez, is there anything you want to get checked out? And I was like, well, I've had these little instances with my heart every once in a while. Like every like 3 months, I get this like little skip of a beat.
That
it's
was
almost,
like me.
And then, and I go, and I had something as a kid, but like, I don't know what the fuck it was. My mom doesn't know what the fuck it was. My dad doesn't know what it was. And he's like,
sounds like mast cell to me.
He's like, all right, well, I guess. And now, so he's requesting all my records from like, you know, my whole life. And
dude, you got a cool doctor.
He's the man. And when he gets them,
it's gonna
he's like
suck when you find out he's a pedophile.
guys,
dude, if I go two for two on pedophile doctors,
I just want to say,
stay away from my doctor. I'll tell you that right now.
From this moment on,
yeah, it's me. It's me that's doing it.
From this moment on, I do not want to talk about Taylor's ex-pedophile doctor. Ex-doctor.
I mean, he's
pedophile.
Probably still. Yeah, right. Yeah. There you go.
I mean, are you ever not really?
You know what? That. I don't know. I don't know.
So anyway. There was a question I wanted to ask about.
We got way off track there.
There's a question I want to ask.
Did
about,
we?
You know, like when you're undiagnosed with an illness mm-hmm. and you're dealing with something like that, and you're and especially with something like where you're feeling like chronic fatigue, for example, and you're just like at home in bed, you don't know what's totally wrong with yeah. you. Like, is there a part of you that's like, am I just fucking crazy?
Oh, yeah. I would ask myself that question like every other day.
And because I feel like some people project that onto people who are actually sick with that too. Like,
oh,
people,
yeah.
People are around like, well, can this, like, I they're not diagnosed with anything, just fucking get better.
Totally. And I ran into that a lot where I would get a doctor. And I know that, you know, there's only so much they can do for someone like me, but I had one doctor who's like, have you had any issues with depression? And I was like, it's not depression. He's like, well, it kind of sounds like it is. And I'm like,
because
okay,
like,
wait, I should not have come in here. This was a huge mistake. And he's like, that sounds like the depression talking.
Whoa, he didn't say that.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like a bad doctor on a TV show.
Effed up. And that definitely, I was like, I don't need to go to Emerge anymore.
Yeah.
But that's sounds happened to like me a couple topic. Times. And I had to like really dig deep and self-reflect on it because I'm a really, you know, motivated person. And I would wake up and I'd be like, I think like I want to do things. It's not like I don't want to do things. I'm not in bed and I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know what to do with myself. Like, I don't feel like it. Or I'm not, you know, like I've experienced like bouts of that in my life or seen people I care about that are depressed. And that's not to take away from the legitimacy of that. But I was like, there were days where I'm like, I would say to my husband, I'm like, do you think I'm depressed? Like, cause I really don't think I'm depressed. I want to go to school. I want to move on with my life. I want to get out in the world in Halifax and check out the city and do stuff.
There's nothing to do here.
Except for everything.
Yeah, that's a joke. You're exhibiting all of these fucking things, and I as maddening as that sounds, and as intense as that experience must have been for you, where did it start to like reveal itself, and who's behind that, right? Because like you're saying that you're seeing all of these different specialists, but like, who's the fucking team leader? Who's the one that's going, all right,
this
go
is
here,
like,
go here?
For me, is a real like issue I have, and I don't know what the answer is with our healthcare system, especially in Nova Scotia. But I had some good doctors, and my allergist is amazing, but nobody really was willing to take the lead. So I went to see a cardiologist to rule out everything. Everything was cool. Then I saw an internist, and he was really lovely.
What's an internist?
They deal with issues, everything that the other doctors don't. So stuff kind of internally that's like multi-system. Like, so they'll do people like, I don't know. I don't know. It's the mystery cases. So when I went to go see that doctor, everyone was like, oh, you're going to see, I won't say his name, but they're like, oh, if anyone can figure out what's wrong with you, it's him. And then he was like, I don't know. I don't know
what's
wrong.
You're like, no,
with you.
Then I'll never find out.
And then I got referred to the chronic care facility out in Fall River, which was lovely. But
are you from PEI or from here?
I'm from Ontario, actually. Okay. My husband's from PEI. We lived in PEI for a bit. But it just didn't like, I still wasn't convinced that was the end game for me.
At what point do you start to see like some headway though?
So I have another friend of my father-in-law's, he is a doctor, and he used to work at Dal, and he sees a lot of complicated patients, and he mentions, oh, it sounds a lot like postural orthostatic tachycardia. And I was like, oh yeah, that's cool. So I book an appointment with the doctor in Toronto who specializes in POTS, but that's not till the end of the summer. So I was like, okay, I'm doing all my own research. And through all of this, I've always just been like doing all my own research, being like, oh my God, okay, what can this be? I've read about like every illness you guys have talked about, because that's, you just right. have
could
to.
Be, could be any of them.
And then anyway, so I find out that mast cell activation syndrome is comorbid with POTS. And I'm like, oh my God, I think I have mast cell activation syndrome. So actually I brought that to my allergist and she's like,
whoa.
I don't know.
What is the allergist's role in all this?
So she started, I got referred to the asthma and allergy clinic because when this all started, they thought it was asthma. And so I saw this allergist and she's like, okay, I want you to get like a methacholine test. And I'm not even convinced you have asthma.
What's a methacholine test? Man, I'm learning so much in this episode. This is fucking crazy.
Well, they give you this like methacholine and that will trigger...
is that like a tasty snack? What is that?
Ooh, it's like a breathe-in aerosolized fun time.
That sounds gross.
Yeah. And then you do spirometry, which you know all about.
I know all about that.
Which is?
You blow.
Hard.
Blow hard.
That's how you get your pulmonary function.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, keep blowing, but don't blow too hard. but just keep going. And you're like,
do less.
Relax. Harder. Relax.
Do more, but less.
I was there when Jared did it. It was amazing. We made a video.
We did.
The irony was that methacholine challenge results got lost.
Oh, God.
Also, I had a referral to my cardiologist and it got lost.
You have had a really complicated and...
You know what's really funny?
When
there's things that are just supposed to work and they just don't. Like,
I know.
Things just... Oh, the thing that like you were van? Supposed to do and 100% it was supposed to come back here.
It didn't. Sick Boy Podcast will be right back after this very short break.
Hi, I'm Jesse Cruikshank.
Jesse Cruikshank.
I host the number one comedy podcast called Phone a Friend.
Girl, let's phone a friend.
Not only do I break down the biggest stories in pop culture with guests like Dan Levy and members of NSYNC, I do it with my own personal boy band singing jingles throughout. Because it's my show.
It's your show, girl.
New episodes of Phone a Friend.
Yeah.
Drop Thursdays wherever you get your podcasts.
So work it, girl. Yeah, work it.
Okay, that's enough.
One thing that I do find really interesting, though, is that, you know, while I was on the Wikipedia article for
which
for
is actually a pretty good activation source. Syndrome.
It is. Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
The Wikipedia for mast cell, I've read it. It's pretty good.
Oh. Yeah. And in that same paragraph under where I was reading earlier, it says that it's often found in patients with, like you said, Ehlers-Danlos and also in POTS.
Yeah.
And so... super interesting that someone along the line mentioned POTS to you, and then through your own devices, kind of come along this phrase mast cell activation syndrome. So like technically,
I diagnosed myself.
Yeah, you're the one who kind of figured it out.
So you're kind of like a doctor.
Kind of a doctor.
I mean. That's how I would look at it. I know you brought it up to your allergist and your allergist was like, oh, I don't really know.
Well, she kind of admitted to me that, you know, a lot of people come into her office and say, I think I have mast cell activation syndrome.
Right. Because it's one of those illnesses that's like it makes everyone hypochondriac.
But part of diagnosing it is trying the medication. So she was like, it's not a big deal to like try you on some antihistamine. So I tried, there's H1 and H2 antihistamine. So like the H1 is like, for allergy symptoms like
Reactil,
right? Yeah, like Reactin. Yeah. And H2 is Zantac, so it's for
acid
GI
reflux.
So it helps with the histamine, blocks histamine receptors in your intestine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which for me, my main symptoms, so to get back to the symptoms, my main symptoms were I had like super crazy bloating. I'd be like, I'd eat something and I'd look like I'm like 7 months pregnant. Wow. And
7 months pregnant,
huge.
That's real. Whoa. Pregnant.
And I took pictures to the doctor to be like, this is how bloated I am. Like,
you got a friend who's 7 months pregnant.
That sounds like depression to me.
She's pregnant.
Anyway, continue.
And you know, I've had history like angioedema. I'd get like what I call like elephant eye, and this is like I've had this for set like you know 10 years now, but like in the summertime, in the sun, if it's really hot and I'm wearing sunscreen, I thought I was allergic to sunscreen for a long time, but I get this rash all over and then like I get the swelling around my eyes and they would just look weird and like wrinkled.
Is your ancestry from the north?
The north?
You look like you are Scandinavian. You look like you are of Scandinavian descent.
Yeah. Whenever I wear my hair in braids.
It fucking is the hair. Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Is it? Yeah, maybe it is just the braids.
No, but I'm half Dutch. That's my...
Oh, okay.
It looked like when you said elephant eye, you like reached almost for your eye, and I thought you were going to do something, like something fucking crazy with your eye, and I was kind of bummed out when you didn't.
Oh, sorry.
Again, though, the elephant eye thing, it sounds a little bit like depression, but continue.
And I printed
that's
this because...
the depression talking.
This has been, like, such a long thing that I actually had to go back and, like, I forget things about what
Same,
happened.
Yeah.
So like, but then, like, the fatigue was huge. The brain fog was really bad.
Depressed.
The depression was really bad. The
also
tachycardia.
Depression.
So I would get really dizzy when I would go from sit to stand. That's, like, the POTS thing.
Mm.
And then really exercise intolerant. Like, I found, like, a lot of people talk with lupus particularly, and this is, I follow this girl on Instagram who has lupus and she talks about a lupus tax. And I feel like with mast cell, I would end up with this like mast cell tax where if I have too much fun and I do too many things, I'm in bed for like a couple days. And so I see the allergist, she prescribes the pills. Like I notice within like 20 minutes of taking this new antihistamine called Rupall. It's got...
RuPaul's Drag Race.
And I noticed within 20 minutes that like my brain fog improves. And and I noticed like pretty immediate, like within a couple of days, like a pretty big improvement. I also was in the process of doing an elimination diet. So I really started to see improvement once I started following a low histamine diet, which is the worst diet ever.
What has histamines in it?
So this is another prong that's really interesting where like mast cell activation, there's all these downstream effects from the mast cells. And one of them is histamine. That's just like one piece of the puzzle. And so with histamine, not only do you release it in an allergic reaction, but you also have certain levels of histamine in your body. So like when we eat food has a certain amount of histamine naturally, and certain foods have more than others. And with the histamine thing, and you'll read, in addition to mast cell activation syndrome, there's also like histamine intolerance. That's like a pretty trendy thing right now. And it's like a bucket. So the more you keep adding to the histamine bucket, you get to a point where it just like tips. And once it tips, you're fucked. Like you're just, I'm gonna...
And that could be anaphylaxis?
Could be for some people. For me, it's like, you know, super terrible bloating, getting really tired, like all the systemic, it irritates like the it irritates the whole system, right?
The coolest thing is that like I'm picturing like this is like a montage of like you just going and doing your own research and like coming to a realization, oh, there's a light bulb moment. Oh, I'll just figure this out. Mast cell. All right, cool. Now I need to change my diet. It's like you've actually like not only have you had somebody helping you advocate for yourself to like find the right professionals to speak to, but like you've been taking a lot of this into your own hands to like research and like change your diet and modify and stuff.
One question that I have is number one, has POTS been ruled out?
So POTS, the question is always, is it idiopathic? Like you have POTS and it's just, you don't know why, or is it caused by an illness? So that's, for me, I found that once my mast cell got under control, the POTS symptoms went away.
Okay. Interesting. No, continue.
I'm curious about the elimination diet though. Like what did you go down to only eating at first? Or did you like go to like something strictly?
Well, I started on an elimination diet. Once I read about low histamine, it excludes so much more that I was like, oh, I'm just going to stick to this.
Did you only eat meat? The carnivore diet?
Yeah. I kind of get that now. Like, so once I broke down the food. So like in terms of food, it's like you can't have leftovers because over time, as time progresses, histamine increases.
In leftovers.
So once you can't like cook histamine out of a food, it just keeps accumulating.
Histamine just builds up.
It just builds up.
Leftovers.
Oh yeah. So leftovers, fermented foods. So I was eating tons of like kimchi and like sauerkraut and kombucha and shit like that when I was sick. Cause I was like, I'm going to make myself so healthy. And then meanwhile, it was like the last thing I should ever
for all
have.
Like the probiotic properties.
I'm a little stuck on this histamine thing and leftovers. Could this be true? I find when I take an antihistamine, I get sleepy.
Right. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. So histamine.
When you eat leftovers.
When I eat leftovers, I get fucking sleepy. So I was like, yo, is there a link? But I now realize as I say it out, it's antihistamines that make me sleepy. So histamine.
Whoa, guys.
I was onto something.
I just solved the riddle.
It's just like we solved our armpit issues.
Yeah, that's right. Which we were talking about before we started recording.
I didn't even hear it.
Was
I
go to that? Well,
we were talking about how, well, before we started recording, we were talking, what were we talking about?
We're talking about sweating in getting stuck in an elevator. And I was like, oh yeah, I don't sweat, or at least I didn't sweat or stink or wear deodorant until I got sick.
And then when Angela said that, I was like, whoa, interesting. When I was admitted to the hospital last, I all of a sudden, like, I've never really had an issue with like body odor. But my body odor went through the roof and was like immediate every day, even when I was wearing
fucking. So did mine in like the month and a half after I was in the hospital.
Maybe it's related to like inflammation or something.
Yeah,
can I ask you guys how often were you showering?
That's a good point.
I wasn't showering as often as normal, but like a shower for me before was like every day because I was like biking.
But it was different though. It was a different type of smell.
It was not normal. Old people smell.
Mine smelled more like hot wharf. You know, like wharf. Underneath a hot wharf.
Oh, that's really it,
like when the tide's out.
Yeah, it's real hot.
Yeah, it's real hot
like,
out.
Kind of like fish and
not even worse than that, man.
Like dead shellfish,
bottom feeder.
Like where they're drying.
Hot bottom feeders.
Like where fishermen are drying fish.
Like that drying
sounds
mud.
Sounds terrible.
Anyway.
Okay.
But the elimination diet.
Elimination diet. So it cuts out leftovers, fermented fruit, fermented foods, like yeasts, vinegars.
Like, could you not, you couldn't drink at all either?
So I found that like tequila and rum were fine.
Amen.
But like fermented fruits, so like cider, wine is bad. Like red wine especially is a big one. And then there's nightshades. So tomatoes, potatoes, peppers.
I love those. I love all those.
Yeah, really missed that.
What were you eating?
Like squash, sweet potato.
It's like a bunch of roots.
Air.
A bunch of root vegetables.
Root vegetables, yeah. And then there's a whole bunch of fruits you can't have.
Were you eating like the same thing like every day?
For a while. Like it was really hard. It's hard to keep things interesting.
And how did that impact you?
Oh, it like I go in cycles where I'd get really excited. I had to do serious research to find recipes online. I'd have to like modify and be really creative. And
so HelloFresh was out of the fucking question, picture.
Right? Yeah. And then on top of that, I had to make everything from scratch myself or make things in batches and freeze them. So it was a really big pain in the butt because like no one really wants to cook for me because they don't know what the hell to cook with. So the list is pretty long, but I got to the point where like I started eating meat again because it's really hard to stay full when you can't have like a lot of carbohydrates. And on top of that, I had a naturopath who was like, oh, you should be grain free, which I still am. And I do find that actually is a big part of it, too. You noticed
a positive change in your body from that?
Oh, huge, like huge change. So once I had the antihistamines and the low histamine diet, I just kept improving.
Oh, wow.
And so over the summer, I was like, whoo, this is great. And then I forgot about, like, you know, I didn't forget, but forgot about POTS for a bit. And then I had the appointment in Toronto, and That was good. And albeit at this time, like, I'm still not 100%. Like, I'm not going to, like, go for a run. But I'm outside. I'm doing things. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm walking around the block. You know, I'm cool. Yeah.
Do you still have that, like, if you, like, the tax? Like, if you go and do
something? Yeah, I was still having a tax.
Okay.
And I tried a couple other medications at that point, and then I sort of fell off the mast cell train for some reason. I like got distracted when I saw the doctor in Toronto, and then I ended up going back to school, feeling pretty good. And then I developed a thyroid problem in the middle of the semester.
Give up, man.
Man, it's like the worst fatigue. even worse, I think, than the mast cell fatigue.
Is it hypothyroidism?
Hypothyroid, yeah.
Is that something that can be tied to the
mast
cell?
I don't know. When you read the literature, there's so little research done on mast cell.
Even the Wikipedia article, like it's the page and a half. It's like there's not a lot there.
Yeah. Everyone is so different, so their symptoms are all so different, so it's really hard to make a good trial for a drug or whatever, because how do you tell for sure if these people actually have mast cell, right?
And one of the things that's pretty telling here, the World Health Organization has not published diagnostic criteria yet.
Yeah.
Like it's
pretty contentious.
Yeah.
Like the whole world and about this.
We're not getting baited into another Lyme disease thing, are we?
Don't get me started that.
So let me just say this. As we've been talking about this, I actually, no offense to you, but I did go, I Googled, is mast cell activation syndrome real? And the first thing that came up was a science journal that was like, yes, it fucking is real.
Yeah, it is 100% real.
It is 100% real.
No, 100%.
It's just so new that we're like, whoa.
But so the thing that I like that you prefaced this entire conversation with was the fact that you are open, like this is what you kind of understand as your diagnosis right now. But if the situation changed and that evolved, you're not
married to it.
Yeah, you're not against finding out.
Which is a
other explanation.
Which is between that or you and the Lyme community.
This is like, because this is something that I'm going to live with for the rest of my life. And to fast forward a bit, so I got the thyroid thing. It was really annoying. It triggered my mast cell. I got a lot worse at Christmas. I got sick again. And I wasn't really on the mast cell train. I was kind of like, still like, I don't know what the fuck this is. Mm. And, you know, writing emails back and forth with my internist being like, what if it's this? And still researching and like, what if it's this? And then just eventually getting to the point where I started to understand that like when I go to Emerge or when I go see a doctor, they've got a differential diagnosis that they're looking at. So because I was like, what do I need to say to a doctor to get them to understand what I'm talking about? And so say like one of the symptoms I had was flushing. And so, and I took pictures of it. I would get like red, really red cheeks. And, for a while I thought, oh, maybe I have lupus. So this second year in this last year, one of the things I ruled out was lupus. I saw a rheumatologist at Christmas and don't have lupus, don't have rheumatoid issues. But on the diagnostic differential for flushing, there's all these things that they go down the list and they tick off. So one of them was mastocytosis. One of them was carcinoid syndrome, which we ruled out that too. A neuroendocrine tumor, which we ruled out. A couple things that I'd ruled out the year before. And then I would go to my internist and be like, this is the differential for flushing. What do you think about ruling out this? And I got way better results from talking to doctors like that because they're like,
they're
understand
thanks,
that.
You did my work for me.
This is like evidence-based practice, right?
Right, right.
So we rule out all these things and then finally I'm like, oh, I think I just have mast cell activation syndrome.
You know, which that's what you started with.
And that's what I started with.
And that's kind of what you were responding to as far as like treatment went too, right?
Well, and the thing that was really funny was at Christmas time of this past year, I after my thyroid problem, my endocrinologist was like, I think this is a transient. I don't know if this is a real, you know, Hashimoto's. And so he's like wanted to wean me off my Synthroid that I was taking for that. And
a real Hashimoto's? Sorry, is that
Hashimoto's thyroiditis is like a chronic hypothyroidism.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
That's where Kyla
and so
has.
You can have a transient hypothyroidism. But anyway, so as I came off this drug, it triggered my mast cell, and I was like, oh, well, this is... why am I doing this? Mm. I got so much worse when I started coming off the Synthroid, so I went back up to it. I also, at that time, got really bummed out, and I just stopped taking a lot of my medications.
Sounds like the depression.
Yep.
Here you go with that depression.
And I just
again.
Got so sick, and then I'm like, oh, maybe if I start taking my medications again, I'll feel better. And then I started feeling better.
Right.
And
you know the crazy thing about all of this is, and the... like, you're not the first person that we've spoken to who's, like, been kind of, like,
what
really
fuck?
Having to, like, advocate for their,
yeah.
for a diagnosis, right? The thing that I find so interesting about it is it's kind of like if you have, like, a meeting with a group of people and you're trying to plan an event or something, and you come up with all of these amazing ideas and it's really positive, and then you leave with no concrete next steps forwards. And
yeah.
Then, like, you go, like, 2 months before the next meeting,
oh
and then
my
you have
God.
The meeting again, and
fucking
it's like
hate that.
The same energy, like yeah, this is great, this is great,
oh,
and then
yeah.
no next steps. So like,
it's horrible.
I always imagine that, like when we're talking to you and we've talked to other people in the same situation, I imagine it's kind of like that, where like you know you're the only one who's like really trying to
push
keep the ball
forward.
Moving because like you see these professionals and like of course they want to help you,
mm-hmm.
but like when you leave the office. They don't have to feel what you feel every single day, right?
Yeah.
And like inevitably, they're
and
seeing a bunch of fucking people.
To, yeah.
And the problem too is they don't all talk to each other. So in terms of finding a cohesive
they all
health
hate each
team,
other.
Yeah, they just it's like on.
They all have depression.
So
all of them.
Yeah, so that was like to me that's a whole other thing that I could go on a rant about. But like
you mean like the
lack of communication?
Yeah, lack of communication. Just like oh, we have a complex case. And just accepting that that's it. And then you have to go back to your family doctor, get a referral to your next person, and then wait 6 months. Whereas, like, why can't the specialist you saw take what they learned and pass it on to the next person?
I mean, it's got to be, like, one of the biggest, most important innovations of like, this century is the ability to have a sort of like a one-stop shop where you can put all that shit in a place where everybody can access it.
This is the one thing that I really don't ever take for granted about the fact that that cystic fibrosis throughout Canada and throughout the States, but there's CF clinics.
Right.
Right. And having a clinic that like specializes in
team.
Your fucking thing. I have a whole team.
Yeah.
A whole team. There's a psychologist. There's the social worker. There's the respirologist. There's the dietitian. Like they are all working together.
Yeah.
And if I ever do anything outside of that, I just go, yo, take that, fucking send it to them. And then they go, okay. And then they send it.
And you're
then,
probably getting way better care.
Oh my
having
God.
It sent back to your team. Because
whereas you, in your case, it's the complete opposite. You have to go see all these individual specialists. And
it's crazy.
It's all up in the ether and no one's
and the
keeping track
I
of it.
I had all these like, you know, all these blood tests, urine tests, and like all of them are normal. Like which, you know, the summer. So I think looking back, part of why I stopped thinking I had mast cell was because my testing came back negative. And the problem with that is here in Canada, all testing for mast cell goes to the States and it's really, really temperature sensitive. So if someone leaves it out on a counter for 5 minutes, that test could be negative because of the temperature. So everything's going to like the Mayo Clinic. So it doesn't matter if I go see a mast cell specialist in Toronto, I'm still going to get the same test and it's still going to have the same treatment. So there's problems with the testing. So the more I read about that, the more I learned about that, the more confident I felt, okay, I think this is it. And like,
now, has anyone out of any of the fucking specialists you've seen, has anyone gone, this is what you have?
Well, I've had multiple appointments with my allergist in the last couple months. And there was one where I was just like, lost my shit. And I was just like, started crying. And I was just like, do you believe me? Like, is this what I have? And she's like, because I feel like I go talk to people and they don't believe me. Like, and she's like, no, I truly think that you have mast cell activation syndrome. I wouldn't spend 40 minutes in this appointment with you if I didn't believe it. You know, like I've seen, she's probably one of the few doctors in Eastern Canada who's seen mast cell, like, and in her time, she's only seen a handful of people. Right. And so she's like, I truly believe that this is what you have, partially because, once we got to the spring and I was like, okay, I think I have mast cell activation syndrome. Then we went to the next step of the protocol, which is to add aspirin therapy, which aspirin treats prostaglandin levels, and that is responsible for brain fog. And I started taking aspirin. That was like a game changer, which freaks out doctors. And then
because it's not the healthiest thing to be taking.
Yeah.
Chronically.
Yeah. And right. They're like, you're taking a baby aspirin. I'm like, nope.
And that's because of the way that, because of it's a blood thinner, right?
Yeah. So, so I started taking aspirin, the mast cell stabilizers, which are another class of drug, adding those all together. I was like, this is great. I still feel like I need something else. And so, that was the appointment where she's like, no, I truly think you have this. I think it's time to bring out the big guns. So I started this, biologic medication.
What is the, whoa, like the, when you say, I still feel like I need something else, like what is it that you feel that doesn't feel complete?
I just feel like I still couldn't like go out for a run or go to the gym or like, I only would have a couple hours of good energy every day.
Is that something that you think is completely from a lack of like your body not producing what it needs and you needing to find something to assist with that?
Yeah.
And the reason why I ask that is, so I, like the, I'll always find an excuse to talk about like CrossFit or something like that. But for example, last year I got into CrossFit and that's what I was doing. So I did CrossFit for, like 8 or 9 months.
Yeah.
And I felt the fittest that I've ever felt in my life. Then I got drawn into, competitive weightlifting. So I switched from CrossFit to weightlifting and CrossFit's like very like aerobic.
Yeah.
I felt the fittest that I'd ever felt, but I wasn't the strongest I've ever been. So I switched to weightlifting and now I feel stronger, but I don't feel fit. So last week I started going for runs again. And the first run that I did, I started from my house and it goes uphill. And when I got to the top of that hill, I felt like totally out of breath and like I had no energy at all.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? Like I go to the gym like every fucking day.
Is that why you said you wanted to get on the bike the other day to me?
Why?
Because you want to get more fit?
Well, I just thought that you haven't been biking lately and I want to go for a bike ride.
I want to go for bike rides.
But anyway, like my point is that, you know, with like a bit of time, you can build that back up. And is it that you could take all the right medication, but you're not going to feel better right away?
Totally.
But it could take some time to build up to that.
And definitely part of it is building up that endurance, building up social endurance, being, you know, even like tonight, this is like way past my bedtime.
Yeah, right, you said that earlier.
But the final, the icing on the cake is I started this drug called Xolair. And it's like, it's called, the science name is Umbismolab or something like that.
Yeah.
So it works by like binding to IgE antibodies in your body, which are part of the response to like allergens and things like that. And
dude,
so,
you know your shit.
Yeah,
the way you talk, like on straight up, I have to say it. You clearly have done your research.
Thank you.
And I kudos to you because, man, fuck, most people would not.
I find it a little pretentious, but that's just me. I'm just fucking with you.
So those things happen in my body and they just happen. I don't know.
No.
Sorry, I cut
you
off.
Part of it too is like, I'm hoping this will be my third try at first year physiotherapy this year. And I really would like to be a physiotherapist. So part of that is, you know, learning to read scientific journals and case studies and blah, 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 blah. So
the Xolair.
Xolair.
Is it working?
Yeah, so it's actually been amazing. So what it does is it helps keep the mast cell from degranulating. So keeps it from getting too excited. And it's still an off-label use for mast cell. So there aren't a lot of, there's not any study. There's a few studies, but the results are promising. And
so are you getting this from the black market or something?
Black market. No, but the sad thing is I have to pay out of pocket and it's really expensive.
Like how much?
Like $17,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
That's
wowie,
fucking
wowie.
Steep. Yeah.
But
I thought you were going to be like $17 a month. Yeah.
But I'm telling you, like,
you thought that was what she was going to say after she said it was expensive?
A week, a day, I don't know.
Yep. And I get these like every 3 weeks right now.
Point is, that was way more than I thought.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
How do you get them? Do you gotta order them in from Amazon, or what's the process there?
It's a little weird. You actually have to go through this exhale program through the drug company, and it gets delivered through a specific pharmacy in a specific clinic, like actually a private clinic, which is really nice. Like I get my own room, and it has a window and a reclining chair and TV.
Nice. Oh, so you
is that
so
included in the $17,000?
It has to be administered that way.
Yeah. So
it's not like you don't take a bottle of pills though and pop a pill.
No, it's two syringes, so it's subcutaneous injection. So I think it's from. I'm not gonna. Don't quote me on this, but it's
quarter on a people.
Oh yeah, pig.
Oh,
IgE. So they're using biological matter from animals, I think, or maybe they're making it synthetically now. I don't know, but
crazy.
They inject that, and then it goes into your bloodstream and does its thing with the rest of your body.
Huh.
Yeah.
The capsules on my enzymes are made of pig in some way. Which is fucking crazy, because anyone who like
Muslims.
I didn't even think about that, but anyone who was like, I'm a vegetarian, but if they're like with CF and they don't realize that the capsules that they're taking.
Oh, that's sad.
Dude, by the way.
Porcine?
Thanks for those enzymes the other night after wings. It made me feel really good.
Yeah, no problem. They help in a really interesting
way. No problem, boys. I got an unlimited supply and I don't fucking pay for them. What's up?
Yeah.
Bingo. Just giving them away.
Taylor and I definitely don't take them.
Very rarely.
The crazy thing, though, is like when you start getting into this drug stuff, there's so many stupid barriers. So like each province covers it for different things. So it's covered for like allergic asthma and chronic urticaria. But it's only covered for asthma in like some provinces and urticaria and others. And then there's also these rules about compassionate release. So I've looked into all the things, and like I'm technically still a PEI resident, and because I'm on this drug, it's not eligible for compassionate release. So
what is compassionate release?
It means that like, so if you say like you had to go to the States for like a surgery or something, or a new treatment or a new drug, if you can't afford it and you can prove that you can't afford it, they'll give it to you for free.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so
like the US or the Canadian government?
Canadian.
Will
so
cover
most all provinces, I'm pretty sure, have a compassionate release program. So if there is something that you can't afford that's very integral to your care, I don't know all the details, but I know for like big drugs, like all the biologic ones, you can usually get that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So where are you at like today? What is Angela now?
Well, I was feeling pretty great.
Until you came in here.
Yeah. And now I'm feeling, I got results pretty quickly on the drug. Like jazz festival weekend, I like walked 17,000 steps one day, and like
Jesus,
and my average was like 3,000 a day before that. So that was pretty huge.
Big deal.
Did you feel the effects of that?
No.
Oh, really?
I was able to like consecutively do things, stay out late, and that was great. The bummer is that I ended up, for some reason, having low ferritin, and so my iron, like I've been having symptoms of iron deficiency for the last couple weeks. So I get iron infusions tomorrow,
Jesus,
which will make me feel a lot better, I think. So,
geez, you're like a puzzle.
Yeah,
like one of those places you go to and like try to trap rooms. Yeah,
that's where the internist comes in.
Yeah, and you know, he's been really helpful.
Their job is like to deal with the people that are fucking puzzles.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, and like, yeah, it's all a process. Like at this point, I mean, I'm going for it with the drug, and I mean, at 4 months, my doctor can apply to the drug company and be like, she's really poor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We really need this.
I know. Sorry, yeah. I was just going to say, I know we're getting to the end of the conversation, but I am curious about, you know, you've talked a lot about like how you've been kind of like bedridden quite a bit and haven't been able to like partake in a lot of things because of like energy levels.
Yeah.
How has this impacted your relationship with your husband?
It's been a little crazy. Like, he's great. There have been times where I'm like, I don't know why you're still with me. This is so shitty. Like, because, you know, he has to pick up the slack and also like it gets old talking about your health problems. Like it starts to feel like everything is about your health and like, and you know, like in the last 6 months, my allergist or my family doctor was like, I really don't want you to travel for the next while. Like, I think you should just stay put and try and get regularity. But that means that like, you know, we love to travel. And it means that he can't do those things. So I kind of pushed him at the end of his semester to go to LA and visit a friend because I was like, just because I can't go doesn't mean that you can't still go have fun and travel. And, but it's been good in a lot of ways. Like, I feel like we've been married 5 years, and in the first 5 years we've, moved across the country. We've bought a house, changed careers, went back to school at the same time, incurred a massive amount of debt, and I got sick. And so all those things have been kind of like...
Have you made it through all that?
It's cool. One of the hilarious solutions that a couple doctors have mentioned to me is they're like, maybe you should just have a baby, because a lot of women, when they have babies... shit changes.
Get the fuck out.
And I'm like, that was the really advice? Funny, but
to just like roll the dice on a baby?
Yeah.
Is that legit
for your
advice?
Health?
Kind of half joking, but okay. Totally. People totally actually
how do you,
said
wow,
that.
Wow. How do you feel about that? Like, is like having a baby in your future? Or is it?
It's definitely something I want, but I can't imagine like.
Yeah,
I need to be healthy and not in school, and
right.
It's definitely a ways off.
I wonder if I had a baby, if it would change my CF at all.
Well,
probably make you really tired.
You couldn't give birth to a baby, so
yeah, that's right.
right,
I can't.
Yeah,
right.
Fuck,
I know. It's unfortunate
for a few different reasons.
Well, hey, you know what? It's 2019. Things are changing.
Things
so
are changing.
We never know. We never know. Give it a couple of years.
On that note, I've been seeing like crazy articles on Facebook about stem cells and shit like that.
Did you see the video? The video online of the guy that gave birth? The only guy that's ever given birth?
No.
Did you? Like,
oh, man.
Did you see it?
Sounds like a live leak.
I think you showed me this.
It was a live leak.
Oh, yeah, you did. It was so fucking nasty.
Actually, it's you not showed real. Me that, too.
It's totally...
It's 100% real. Super graphic.
Possibly the most super
graphic. Anyway.
We don't need to see it.
No, not don't bring it up right now.
No.
Okay, so... but before we wrap it up, I mean, this was a lot. I got to process this. There's a lot that happened here, and I'm going to have some weird dreams. But before we get to that, there's a question that we ask all of our guests, and it's a two-part question. And I don't maybe you can answer this, maybe you can't, because of where you currently are within your, you know, I fucking hate the word, but where you are in your journey with mast cell activation syndrome. But if you were to take a stab at it, what would you say is the biggest thing that that mast cell activation syndrome, in quotations, has taken away from you?
My freedom. Like, before I got sick, I was like, you know, the kind of person that I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to build a desk today, you know, like, or I'm going to paint. Like, since I've been sick, I've been painting a lot, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to do a painting, and I'm going to paint all day, and I'm going to stay up really late. And that was cool. Or like, you know, I loved going out to check out music, or, you know, especially like just being able to push my body. Like, You know, I've had moments where like I'll be walking down the street and I'm like, what if I just like started running right now? Like,
right.
And just like that's such a weird thing to feel. Like you're like,
I'm gonna hold my breath until
exactly
I pass out.
How you feel?
Yeah. And
I hope that didn't come off as a joke.
No.
I get it. Have you ever thrown up while running?
I'm not a thrower upper.
Should try it.
But also I will say, I feel like, and this is a funny side note. I just had my makeup methylcholine test for the one that got lost. And apparently I don't have asthma. But
what?
Up until now, I feel like through my whole life, I've never been able to push myself to exercise hard enough to throw up because my asthma would always kick in before I could throw up. Yeah. I've always wanted to throw up.
But do you have exercise induced
asthma?
It
sucks.
See, people always like, they're like, no, you know, typically the technologist was like, this is a negative test and we won't test for exercise induced asthma because this is negative.
I will say
I'll do some research and we'll see.
I'm like, look, I say all the time, I enjoy a good puke. And most of the time, but working out so hard that you throw up, that is not an enjoyable throw up.
Oh, dude, that's most enjoyable throw up.
No, I hate that feeling.
I have never thrown up from working out.
Oh, man, it's the worst.
And I have worked out.
Yeah. What is the biggest thing that your mast cell activation system, in quotations marks, has given you?
It's taught me how to pace myself. I've always been one of those people that just keeps going like a freight train, and it forced me to slow down. So, you know, and that was a real gift because it meant that it broadened my interests. I never thought that I would have to like figure out ways to entertain myself in bed without, you know, in a way that like I can't read because I'm cognitively impaired and my attention span is like a flea and I can't, you know, so like, you know, learning to crochet or doing crosswords or, you know, I got to the point where, you know, I started painting because painting is like, you know, it requires so little. You can just sit and use your hands. And so I learned to like really appreciate those things. Like one of the funny things was when you can't like clean your house, it's dirty. It's got to get cleaned. I started like vacuuming quarters of my rugs. I'd sit on the floor and I'd vacuum a quarter and then I'd take a 15 minute break, vacuum a quarter.
That is hilarious.
That is funny.
That sounds like something somebody would do in jail to kill time.
Yeah, totally, dude. Yeah.
Well, it's very much like jail.
And listen to podcasts. Like getting hip to you guys was one of the big things that got me through because it's such a lonely, you can feel so lonely and you can second guess yourself so much and just like feeling like you're part of, like there's a community for you.
Yeah.
It's really helped.
That is the craziest thing to me about podcasting. You know, we've talked about it a number of times, but like there's never been a medium where through entertainment where personally, and I know I'm not speaking just for myself here, like millions of people feel this way, but a medium where like you feel so goddamn connected to the person on the other side of the headphones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big time.
It's so wild.
You know what the crazy thing is? I really love it. Like I've gotten to the point now where when we record that, like to me, like it's just the four of us hanging out.
Totally.
You know, like,
absolutely.
And like,
I very rarely think about people listening.
I know. And I used to when we started a lot. And now I think the thing that's really interesting is like, to me, this is just the four of us hanging out. And then when I think of the people listening, I'm like, holy shit, that's cool that there's other people like hanging out in this room, like right now.
Like at least 10 or 15 people probably listening.
Yeah, hopefully.
On a good day.
That's true. Pretty cool. I mean, and one of the things that I've always wondered is like, there's all the online communities for chronic illnesses and everyone's got their thing. And most of the people with mast cell have anaphylaxis is their big thing. And I feel, And it's like that weird sufferer's guilt where like they have like ports and they need IV Benadryl like several times a day. They're using EpiPens like every day. Like people will line up pictures of their EpiPens that they've used in the last 2 weeks and stuff like that. And a part of me is like, when I see those, sometimes it makes, I don't feel like I'm a part of that. And I feel like, oh, my mast cell's not that bad. It could be so much worse. It's not life threatening. But one of the things that I'd be curious to know is if there's somebody out there with mast cell that's more like me, you know, so listening to this.
I guarantee you 100%
there is.
And, if you want, we'll put
info
them in touch with
at sickboypodcast.com. Awesome. That's our email. Info at sickboypodcast.com. So you just send that, just fucking write us. And then we'll connect.
Just forward it on.
Because maybe they're out there thinking that no one else is like them.
Yeah.
Be cool.
Yeah. And then you guys meet and then like there's a fucking reaction and you both get super anaphylactic.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say better, but
no.
Okay. And then you stab each other with your EpiPens.
That's right.
Yeah. Tandem EpiPen stabbing.
I want to say thanks for coming in and blowing my mind. Because again, this was a lot and I loved it.
Yeah, that was wild.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you all so much for tuning in. As always, we'll be back next week with another great conversation. And in the meantime, you can go to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and a review and hit the subscribe button and tell your mom to do the same thing. And if you don't know your mom or you don't have a mom, tell your roommate or your friend. And if you don't have any friends, just put it on social media and someone will see it and they'll probably do it.
That's a very, very interesting point to make there, Jer.
Thank you.
Thanks for being very encompassing. And if you want to support us in any other way, or in another way, you can go to patreon.com/sickboy.
Patreon.com/sickboy.
And you can contribute. Everybody who's been doing that, we love you to death. You've been a major part of our success from fucking day one. Have we been doing Patreon since day one?
No. But I mean, but it's been a long time. Early days.
Early days. It's been a long time. So everybody who's been with us or been a part of it at any point, thank you so much. Again, that's patreon.com. Patreon.com/sickboy.
S-I-C-K-B-O-Y. Yeah, wow.
Thanks to Donovan, the CPAP Morgan, for the amazing sound design on the show. Donovan, making you get a little creative today. You know, when I think of mast cells and like things going on in the body, I think that Miss Frizzle Magic School Bus episode where they like took a deep dive into the human body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or Mike Tyson Mysteries also goes into the body.
I haven't seen Mike Tyson Mysteries.
I gotta check that out.
Gotta do it.
But instead of going into the body, imagine what it'd be like to be in a tree. Well, that's what it feels like, traveling through the trunk of the tree up into the little branches, like, turning into photosynthesis through the leaf.
Do you turn into photosynthesis?
I don't know.
I don't know. I have to wipe that mic down after all the spit that came out of your face.
Photosynthesizing. Get that tongue back in that mouth.
And then turning that sweet little sugar that the tree eats up. Oh, thanks for making it sound like that, Donovan.
Wow. Good luck, bud.
Yeah, I know. That's a tough one. Seeing as no one knows what it sounds like.
Yeah, well, you do now.
That is it for this week.
I don't feel comfortable following up you saying that. Can you say that one more time?
That is it for this week.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Ange.
And this is Sick Boy.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.